Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
God is speaking to His people. There are words coming forth from His heart that you may hear. And so if something is tugging within you, something is stirring within you to speak a word, this is your time. He wants to use your mouth to speak His heart. So thank you. Thank you for all of you that step out and be bold about what you're hearing. Hank, you want to come in? Thank you, worship team. Please be seated.
Morning, everybody. I shared this word at the men's breakfast a couple weeks ago, and for 2 weeks now, I've hesitated sharing it with everybody. But every time I think about it, that still small voice says, "Tell them." And I answer, "Lord, this is a tough message." And He says, "Tell my people the truth." So here it is. How many out here remember when you were newborn Christians? Yes, when you first accepted the Lord, how full of excitement you were, and you couldn't wait to tell everybody, right? Yes, too many years ago, my wife and I were newborn Christians, and there was this young lady who lived across the street from us. She was on baby number 3 on the state, and her boyfriend, drug dealer, was living with her, but anyhow, that's what was going on there. And so my wife was sitting with her, sharing the gospel and her excitement. And this girl says, "You know what? God loves me as much as He loves you. So knock it off." That kind of takes you back a little bit, doesn't it? I wish we had known then what we know now. Because the answer to that is yes, He does. God does love her as much as He loves me. He loves everyone that's sitting here as much as He loves me. He loves everyone out those doors as much as He loves me. We are all His children. We are all His children. He loved us so much that He put aside His glory temporarily and put on human flesh, walked among us, and let Himself be hung on a cross for us. That's how much He loves us. But that's not the question. The question is not how much God loves us. The question is, and the question I should have asked her was, how much do you love God? Jesus said, "If you love me, you will follow my commands." Commands, not suggestions. If you love me, you will follow my commands. Second chapter of Revelations. Jesus is talking to the churches. And to the church of Thyatira, He says, "I know the works that you've done, and I know your hearts, but I hold this against you." How many of y'all want to have Jesus hold something against us? No. He said, "I hold this against you. You tolerate that witch Jezebel, who is leading my people into sexual immorality." The word tells us that we are not to condemn. We should not condemn. There is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. But folks, we shouldn't condone either. We can't condone. And it deals, it's the same, regardless of whether it's the guy who's cheating on his wife or the person who's sitting down to do taxes and is going to cheat on the taxes. The habitual liar, the gossip, the homosexual. It's all the same. And we can't tolerate it. We should not tolerate it. And I know that's a harsh message. It is the right message. Yes, it is the right message. You know, there's a phrase in poker, and I'm not going to ask how many people play poker. Okay. There's a phrase in poker that says, all in. I'm all in. And what that means is I'm giving everything I got into the pot. Jesus went all in for us. Yes, he did. Are we going all in for him? We need to. We need to. Pastor John.
Thank you. Once again, is there anybody that Scott's tucking at your heart right now that's saying, come on and say something? There we go. God is speaking. Listen.
This is not a normal thing for me.
Okay.
So early this morning, the Lord was tugging at my heart. He was impressing upon my heart, not speaking to me in a voice or anything, but he wants holiness and righteousness from us. Otherwise, we're just not going to make it. But holiness and righteousness, it was a song, and I'm going to spare you. I'm not going to sing it for you. But then he also was ministering to me about Psalm 91, and everybody's probably familiar with that. But it goes like this: He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Okay, that's, to me, that's talking about your prayer closet. And the Lord's made a huge difference in our lives because we have obeyed his word. And then verse 2 says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him I will trust. Okay, that says a whole lot for us right now. We've got a whole lot of things going on in this world that are going to test us, I think, you know, from the coronavirus to many other things. And I just want to encourage you to really do get into your secret place and really do trust in the Lord, because he won't let us down. He's giving us promises right here, and we need to hang on to that. So God bless you all. Thank you for listening.
This is good.
Hello, everybody. First, I want to thank the Lord. I'm so glad to be here. I love this church. I love the Lord.
We love you, brother.
And I love all of you out there. You know, I don't know, you men, there's something happened last week or more than a week ago, ladies' night. There was a ladies' night here at the church, so I want to let all you husbands know that they were here. They were all here. Because I came here with my wife. I brought a woman named Wanda, who lives down the street from me. She's like 90-some-odd years old, and my brother and I adopted her as our mother, and we brought her here. She was so excited. And but they were here. I pulled up. You would have thought it was a Trump rally. I mean, I walked in that room, and I'm telling you, I never saw so many women in one place at one time, and it felt so good. And it's, that's one thing I got to say about the women: when they get together and they have their little functions, man, they all show up. So, leading to the men's breakfast. So now I'm kind of like the cook for the men's breakfast. And the last one we had was at Casa Rivera at our home. And it was about 18-20 guys. And so I want to thank you all for coming. But it was like the same faces, which is great. But I want to get some more guys to come.
Amen.
Got to get the guys to come. And I'm going to start keeping count. And I'm going to pray that to the Lord that we get more and more men showing up. Because I tell you, it's a blast. You know, good food, I like to cook. I like to eat. And I will make sure that you guys come and have a really, really good meal. Because I feel, again, Pastor Henry said, Dave, would you mind taking over, you know, doing the cooking and stuff? And I told him, I says, well, you know, if you want me to do that, I like to cook. I'm going to have to step it up a couple notches. And he goes, go ahead. So we had pork chops. We had like sausages. And my wife made these amazing eggs, avocados. I cooked some chilies and coffee. And it was amazing. But the problem is that my wife kind of helped me. So she set the bar so high now. I'm like, whoa, what am I going to do the next? But I'm going to deliver. I promise you. So you come, whether it's going to be here or at my house, you're going to eat a good meal. That's for sure. And we did some worship and the Lord was there with us. And I'm just telling you, there's nothing better than being with a bunch of men talking about the Lord, eating. And you'd be surprised. You see some guys across on the other side and we're all a bunch of sweethearts. We really are. We really are. So I'm going to read something here from Hebrews 10. So it says here, and let us consider each other carefully for the purpose of sparking love and good deeds. Don't stop meeting together with other believers, which some people have gotten into the habit of doing instead of doing. Oops, what did I do? Diana, I need your help. I need your help, honey. This is her phone. I hit the wrong thing. I got one of these. So, okay. You want to read that for me, sweetheart?
Sure.
I hit the wrong thing. Okay.
Okay, Hebrews 10, verse 24. Let us consider each other carefully for the purpose of sparking love and good deeds. Don't stop meeting together with other believers, which some people have gotten into the habit of doing. Instead, encourage each other, especially as you see the day drawing near.
Yeah, the day of judgment. The day of judgment. So we all got to do whatever we can to get together. And I'd like to say one more thing. You know, at the powwow that we just had, I got here like at 5:30 in the morning, and I was, oh man, 5:30 in the morning. But I loved it, and I enjoyed it, and I did it because I really wanted to do it. And sometimes we think, you know, what are we going to get out of it? You know, what am I going to get out of this? Well, I didn't expect anything. I really didn't. But I met somebody at the powwow that for some reason I was drawn to, and her name is Sunny. And she had this beautiful dog with her named Dakota, and she's from Minnesota. Oh, her name is Cher. What did I say, Sunny? I'm thinking of Sunny and Cher. Her name is, I apologize. And I thought my wife was going to be proud of me because I always forget names, and I was thinking, I'm going to do good. David, I was back to thinking all the names. I'm going to make my wife proud of me. I dropped the ball, babe. Her name is Cher. She's got a dog named Dakota, and she's from Minnesota. And if you could stand up, do you mind standing up? So I want all the women before you leave, or not all of them, because I don't want it to be bombarded. Some of you get her name, her number and stuff. Reach out to her and have some good fellowship because we want to welcome you. Thank you for coming. You made my day for coming. You told me you'd come and you kept your promise. So thank you so much. I'm David. Thank you for letting me share.
You can take the microphone. I guess I'm on. How can I follow that act, right? Dave's always fun to listen to. Many times at the end of a sermon, the pastor will invite those that have never received Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior to do so. But today I'm going to do something a little bit different. I'm going to catch you while you're still awake. And so we get so, you know, the invitation for those that have never received Jesus as Lord there's always that invitation, but sometimes we just kind of maybe either bypass or whatever we may do with it. But, you know, most of you have said this prayer before. A lot of us have been walking with the Lord for many years. Some of us, you know, just maybe lately. But if there is somebody here today that has never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, today is your day. And we all have come to a time where we had to admit that we were sinners and that we needed a Savior. Even though life might have been great and perfect in our eyes at that time, but there came a time that something, as I called it earlier, a tugging, a drawing upon us that kind of led us to a time that we realized that there was more to our life than where we were at. So what I want to do is the salvation prayers, I've read from maybe two or three lines, you know, different ways of saying it to many different ways of stating the salvation prayer. So what I've done today is I just put about five lines, and what I'm going to do is read one line at a time, and if you agree with me, then repeat it. If you don't, it's okay. Do it another day. But this is probably, for those that have never, the most important decision you would ever make. And so as I go through this, again, I'm going to say one line at a time, and then you can repeat after me. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. That he died on a cross in my place. That his precious blood washed me clean of every sin. That he rose again so that I may be justified and made righteous through faith in him. I declare Jesus, Savior, and Lord of my life. And that I am now a child of God, and heaven is my home. I want to put up there Romans 10, 9, and 10. And what this says is that if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess the faith and are saved. So, again, for the most of us, we've done this before. And yet, when you look at this, sometimes, you know, for some maybe, we think of this as just another thing that we go through. I like the part that it says that this is a hard thing. This is a hard thing. It isn't just us speaking out words that, you know, because it's we're speaking Christianese. You know, these are the right things to say. This is a heart thing. This is something that has, God has been stirring, drawing within us. And when we come to a place like this, it wasn't like it just happened today. You know, you're sitting here in this building today because somewhere along the line, God moved in your heart. Somewhere along the line, there was something maybe not even with the fullest understanding of what that something was, but something drew you. Something is drawing you this day to declare with your heart, with your mouth, that Jesus is Lord. And so it's not just words, it's heart. And that's what I asked you earlier. If you don't believe those lines that I read, you shouldn't say them. if they're not coming from your heart, and this is the time that we can exercise that little mustard seed faith, because when we are new to the Christian walk, sometimes we don't understand what it's all about. But that's why we do this, so that that spirit that comes within us at that time will give us that understanding, will allow that faith to continue to grow, and us have an understanding of what we've done. I want to share just a little bit of my walk, my story, as to the surprise of me standing here today. This is a surprise. I would have never thought that I could stand in front of a church body and share God's word. But here I am. As a child, I was, like many of us, I was raised in the Catholic Church. So I made my first communion. And I even was taken to an apostolic church for a while there with some of my family. So I knew about God. I knew that he hung on a cross. I knew the Trinity. I knew that I could talk to him, even that I could pray. I knew about prayer. I knew all about God. And yet, like many of us, as time progresses, that need for, you know, our parents, if you're wise, you're going to take your children to church. You're going to be that voice that says, this is what's going to be important for the rest of your life. But sometimes as we grow older, such as myself, you get to be a teenager, pretty soon that priority that we've given God as in our childhood becomes a little bit less and less and less on our priority list. So as I grew older, even though I could still talk and sometimes pray, it wasn't that often. And so it wasn't until I was married and had kids. The littlest one was about maybe 4 or 5 at this time. And I remember being in my home. I'd just gotten done having a wonderful dinner. And you know, my wife's a great cook, by the way, as you can tell. But I've had years to build this up, trust me. But anyway, I had just finished dinner and I went into my fridge and I grabbed a beer and I went outside and sat on the little wall that we haven't had in our home. And I just sat there and I looked around and I'm seeing all the things around me. I had a fairly new car and truck sitting in my driveway. I had a wonderful job, good paying job. I had a nice home that I lived in. I could hear inside my house and hearing my kids running and yelling. And I could hear my wife telling them to get down or whatever it is that goes on inside. But here I am in my little spot outside. And I'm looking and I looked up into, it was a clear blue sky filled with a lot of stars. And I looked up. And I told God, I got all this stuff. Life is good. Why do I feel so empty? What am I missing? And it wasn't an audible voice. But I heard him. I heard him reply. Oh, boy. Big baby. Big baby. Pastor's right, isn't he? But I heard him reply, and he said, I am. And I have to say that it wasn't like the next day I went to church and I found somebody to save me, but that was the beginning of something that I knew I needed more of. And as time went on, I finally, it wasn't that much later, I came, gave my life to Christ in a Baptist church. And not very long after that, I joined a Spirit-filled church. And today, here I am. And so the point of even me giving you my story is that, you know, my story wasn't a drastic one. I've known people in my life that were at the verge of committing suicide, and God came, and they didn't. I've heard people that have had to come to God because of addictions or whatever it may be. They're at their last time. They don't know what to do. Mine wasn't like that. Mine wasn't like that at all. It was just an emptiness within me that I didn't understand, even though I had all the stuff, beautiful family, beautiful everything. So just to add on to that, there's people out there that are thinking that life is good. And it might take one of you to tell them that there's more to it. And so, you know, just because we're enjoying the fruits of what's on this earth, if we don't walk with God, we're missing it. So as you can tell, my sermon is on salvation. And when we declare as we did right now, it qualifies us as a born-again child of God. And the word says that you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven unless you are born again. And this free gift of grace, God had already done everything. His grace was there. He loved us when we were not very lovable, even in our own eyes. And yet there he was with his grace. And how simple it is. Our part is to simply believe and receive. It's already there. He's already provided it. And so it's that little bitty faith that we might have at that time and that knowledge of knowing that we need something more than what we already have. And so I hope that today, if there has been somebody here that has never given your life to Christ, that you have done that this morning. And if you need anything, more information, get a hold of one of us, one of the pastors, even one of the people sitting on these pews today. I want to go to Ephesians 1, 11 through 14. It says, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. And that's the title of my sermon today, Sealed. Our belief and declaration gives permission for the Holy Spirit to dwell in his rightful place. That's his rightful place right within us. Being marked with a seal. A seal is a form of ID, a form of ownership. And in the days of the kings, the king might have a ring with his insignia on it. And when authorizing important documents such as a contract, he would take his ring and press it on some wax and validate them. Pretty much like what notary publics do today, right? They have a marking, they put their seal, they put their signature, and it validates whatever contracts it is that we're looking at. In this case here, that is the Holy Spirit. He has bought us. He has contracted us. We belong to him. That's his seal. But I want you to consider another aspect of a seal. One such as those placed on medication or foods. The airtight seal on those items is meant to preserve and protect the product that's in that bottle or in that can, or some of you ladies sometimes will do jams or whatever. You put these seals on there to keep the things that are outside from making it rotten or whatever you want to call it. The airtight seal is meant to preserve and protect, keeping the product safe from contamination and impurities. As so, the Holy Spirit in us is sealed with our spirit. When you did what you did today, you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. His mark is the Holy Spirit that now lives within us. You have given permission to that Spirit to be within you. And the good part is that when he comes in, think about it, the devil can't touch the Holy Spirit. You know, the devil knows how far he can go, and he's not going to go there. And so to have that assurance that we have received that Holy Spirit, we are sealed. Our spirit is sealed with the Holy Spirit. No contaminations. The devil cannot come into that spirit. There is a flawless spirit within us, and its righteousness state doesn't fluctuate with the holiness of our actions or our attitudes. It retains its holiness and purity and will for eternity. There's stuff going to go on around us. There's stuff that we're going to do that isn't very godly. But that spirit that's within us, it's protected from those things that the devil may throw at us. And so the assurance of us spending eternity in heaven with our Heavenly Father, rest assured in that. Rest assured that there is a spirit that will one day be in that presence. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 21. And it reads, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, and the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That God was reconciliating the world to himself in Christ and not counting people's sins against them. He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. Yeah. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. On the cross, when he said finished, it's done. It's done. At our born again moment, because of Jesus' finished work, we became the righteousness of God, a new creation, having a new life under a new master. God sees us without the nature of sin the moment we accept that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. Your old man died, and your new man is now who you are in the Spirit. The old man was crucified with Jesus. The body of sin has been destroyed. Yet we find ourselves doing sinful things. Our soul and body need to realize their place of priority. It is our physical minds that need to be reprogrammed to agree with our spiritual mind. You know that the distance from here to here is the farthest distance it will ever have to deal with. In here, we know what's right. In here, we know when we do something wrong. We don't have to be told. But this guy up here doesn't know it yet. This guy up here is trying to convince us that we're okay. Nothing's wrong. And yet, this guy up here is what winds up getting us in trouble. And so, if we could ever get to that place that we no longer listen to that physical mind and begin to walk as the Spirit leads, look at all the troubles we would save in our lives. Our spiritual minds need to be renewed so that our flesh doesn't designate our actions. Our physical minds can entertain stress, worry, sickness, and temptations. Our spiritual minds offer peace, health, and guidance for every situation. Therefore, we are to walk by the Spirit. But you notice that the first time that our body is hurting or our body is desiring something, that we forget about that Spirit. You know, we have a pain maybe, and right away, you know, it's we're paying more attention to the pain than we are to what the Word says, how to deal with that pain. But the Spirit is telling us not to pay attention to that pain. And so to get to that place where we start putting this guy way down in our priority, putting our body, putting our soul, all those things that we feel, that's a pretty much a lifelong procedure, a lifelong time of growth. And so, but yet, because we have that Spirit within us, we have that power to change. We have the power to allow our lives to go to that place that God intended to from the beginning. So let's go to, I want to just show real quickly, Hebrews 10:14. And this one just says, for by one sacrifice, he has made us perfect forever. He has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. And the reason I even wanted to show that is that because of that Spirit, in God's sight, we are perfect. He doesn't see flaws in us. Why? Because it's that Spirit here. He sees perfection. But the last part says that we are being made holy. It's a lifelong walk. We are still a work in progress. There are things that we're going to do every day. That doesn't excuse us from saying, well, if I'm being made holy, that means whatever I do, it's okay. You know what I mean? Because I'm not there yet. No, you know that if God is telling you that whatever it is that you're doing is wrong, you better be seeking his face right now and saying, Lord, I know what you're saying. Nobody has to tell you that you're doing something wrong. If you're a born-again child of God, that spirit inside you is just, it's going to tell you, and you're going to know it, and you better listen. Because if you don't, all you're doing is welcoming that foothold, that little bit of foothold that the devil needs to work in your life. And so even though we are being made, we are still walking in that. And just continue to understand that just because you had that born again moment, if you would have, if right now, if you would have died as soon as I said that prayer, you would have never sinned, right? So, but if you even thought something after that prayer, if you even were thinking of, you know, maybe somebody you're angry and all that, what happened? You already did it. You need that Savior. You need to go to God every time. It's an ongoing thing, but guess what? He sees you perfect. We see ourselves in this other way. The process of growth differs in each of us. Our struggle with sin will also differ. And there is no such thing as a big sin or a little sin. God doesn't differentiate. And sometimes we can look at someone and see all the flaws, see all the bad things that that person is doing and thinking, well, how can that guy be going to heaven? You know, he doesn't even act the way he should or whatever it may be. And I'll tell you what, I'd hate to be that guy that decides who's going to hell and who's going to heaven. Thank God I'm not God, right? And God is the only one that knows the hearts of people. God is the only one that knows what it's taken for you to get from that born-again moment to even be sitting here in this church today. You know, like I said, my walk wasn't the drasticness of some of the other people that I'm sure you all know, or that at this point you are. Some of you are still going through things that you have not been able to be rid of. But that doesn't make you at any worse place than I am, any worse place than that person sitting next to you. God knows your heart. God knows what it's taken you to even be able to lift your head and breathe sometimes as you walk through each day. And I don't want to be the one to compare myself to say, oh boy, look at that guy. You know what I mean? I don't want to be that guy. I just thank God that he loves them as much as he loves me. I may show up to church every Sunday and tithe and pray and bless people and whatever it is that I or we do, but that doesn't make God's love any greater than that person that maybe didn't make it to church because he was depressed or something, you know, he had pains or whatever it is that they go through. So don't go there. Don't be that guy. Pray for them, bless them, and thank them that they won't stay in that place, that you won't stay in that place. And that regardless of the growth progress, that it's okay. They're just where they need to be. So even though God walks with us through whatever it is that we're walking through, He walks with us because of the things we do, because of the sin that we have each day. It can hinder our relationship with Him. And I want to read out of Genesis 3, 6 through 10. And of course, we know that this was the first sin. And so it says, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Now, I want to look at verse 6 for now, and the part that it says, pleasing to the eye. And I thought about, you know, this first sin, and it's like, how many times had Eve walked past this tree? You know, it wasn't like all of a sudden the tree grew. I mean, they lived in this beautiful garden. God had given them the all they would ever need. Beautiful place, all the food they could possibly enjoy. So anyway, how many times prior would she have walked by this tree and wondered, what was so special about that fruit? You know, why did God say that fruit? And what would it taste like? And so the point I wanted to make with that is that many of our times, before we do something, we thought it. There's that guy again, right? There's that guy trying to persuade us, to steer us. Our mind, you know, she's already thinking about it. You know, what does it taste like? Why? And so at some point, you know, she decides that all it would take at that point is just a little encouragement from the devil, right? Come on now. He didn't say that. So before we do something, the temptation is there. But we entertain those temptations here before we do the deed. So the word says that we are to capture our thoughts, right? And so before things get out of hand, to examine your thoughts, get a hold of them. Are they godly? Because like I say, all the devil needs is just a little bit of a hold to convince you that that's okay. You know, we're talking about a tree. What do we do as far as humans, you know? You look at another woman or another man, and it looks pretty good, right? And now you do things that you shouldn't. But all that does is just, you know, whatever it may be, a drug or whatever it is, we, you know, it's good. It looks good. I'm going to do this. And so the point being is that let's just don't go there. Don't allow those things. Catch them before it ever gets out of hand. Before we ever do something, we're thinking about it and we're imagining it. About what it is that we're about to do, and sometimes leading to the wrong choice. I'll go on with verse 7. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed leaves together and made coverings for themselves. You notice that it says that they realized they were naked. Nobody told them, did they? He says they realized it themselves. We know when we do something wrong. Nobody has to come and tell us, look what you did. Like I said, we know. And yet, you know, when we do that, it's you're there. But nobody has to come and expose your sin to you because you already know. Let's go on with verse 8. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Our tendency is to hide from God, when instead we should be seeking Him. And that is something that, you know, the idea that He was there, but they were ashamed, so they hid. And so it wasn't, let's go on with verse 9. I'll finish it off with that. It says, but the Lord God called to the men, "Where are you?" And he answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." So it makes it seem like, you know, God was caught off guard. You know, he's looking for you. Where are you? Where are you, Adam? You know, God wasn't caught off guard, right? All he was doing is what he does to us today. It's like we get to a point that we've done something, so we go find our little spot where we hide from God, and we don't want to talk to him because we're ashamed. And yet, God was always in that same place. He was in the garden. He was there. It is us that walk away from him because of our sin, because of our shame. And so to look at this first sin, a lot of it applies for where we are today. You would think that we would have learned by now, right? And yet we're doing the same things that led the first man and woman to get us into the bind that we are today. But, you know, God is there. And it's not God's fault that you are where you are. He's going to be there to walk with you. The break comes from us. And then, I'm not going to go into it, but right after that, it talks about where they go into the blame game. It says, the blame game, you know, you're wanting to justify. We want to justify why we do the things we do. Adam says, the woman made me do it. The woman says, the devil made me do it. Much nicer to blame it on somebody. This is what got me here. I didn't have anything I could have done to get here. This is how I wound up here. So we want to justify some of the things that we do, maybe sometimes not even seeing them as a big deal. But yet they are, if there's something inside that's telling you it is. And so we all have a choice. Adam had a choice. You know, I know it's hard to say no to a woman, but he had a choice. No, we all have a choice. We can say, this is not where I want to be. And yet we find ourselves in situations that aren't exactly where we want to be. The consequences of our choices can bring destruction to our lives and sometimes harming those that we love the most. You ever notice that a lot of times we think that what I'm doing, you know, it's okay, doesn't hurt me, not realizing all those people that are around you that because of your action, how many people you've touched in the wrong way. You know, it's one of them deals where you harm people that you never thought were part of your actions. And so the actions of our sins here on earth, maybe that's not whatever we're doing may not be enough for God to say, okay, you're not coming to heaven with me. But those things are the things that you deal with on this earth. Those are the walk that we're having today. And for us, you know, God's going to be with us. But check out what you're doing, not only to your own life, but to those around you. The demands that our flesh places upon us can appear too great to conquer. Our addictions, emotional hurts, and even our attitudes. And only through the power of the Holy Spirit can we find freedom from the things that keep us bound. We cannot do it on our own. And because of our choices, we can find ourselves in places that we never thought we could ever be in. We begin to ask, where's God? Why am I here? We get angry and blame him for our situation, even though we may not have an understanding of the whys to know that he is with us. He is with us. We need to rest in what he has done in the past and trust in what he will do in your present situation. He will never let go of us. So when things don't look good, he's still there. And he will be there if you just let him. We need to rid our minds of an image that we may have of a God sitting on a throne, hunting for someone to spew wrath upon. Someone that he can throw sickness and devastation upon. And we got to remember that Jesus took upon himself sickness and became a curse for us. Why would a loving Father who loves us so much that he sent his Son to die for us do that to us? He's not going to throw sickness and disease. That doesn't belong to us. And so sometimes we get into a place that we are sick, or we get into a place that we just don't have our head above water in the finance department or whatever it is. And Lord, where are you? You know, let's examine what might have we done, you know, that got us there. And yet to know he'll get us out. He is our provider. He is our healer. He is all those things that we need to walk through this life. And yet, like I say, sometimes, like every situation, when you looking at your present situation, you forget about all he did in the past. All that kind of gets put on a shelf. And then tomorrow you look at what's happening today and go, oh yeah, he was there all the time. He's always there. The image in our minds should be the loving Father of Psalm 91. As Linda said, he is our refuge and wants to protect us under his wing. Get rid of the image of a wrathful God and just put that image of a father, a loving father that just wants to hold you and wrap his wings around you and just hear the beat of his heart as you sit on his lap. He loves you. Let's put up 1 Thessalonians 5:9. That says, for God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. No more wrath. Jesus, all any wrath that could have come, Jesus took it upon himself. And so get rid of that picture of a God that's out to get you, and get that picture of a God that's out to love you through whatever it is, no matter what you're doing. He doesn't want to leave you there if you'll allow him to take you out of that situation. Just say yes to his guiding. And one more scripture, Hebrews 12:1-3. And that says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such great cloud of witnesses, and he's talking about right before that is the hall of fame of all these different people that had great faith. So it says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and of the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance for the race marked for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning his shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Our relationship with God is the most important priority in our Christian walk. We are to give up anything that would endanger that relationship. The struggle against sin can be conquered only by the power of the Holy Spirit and never taking our eyes off of Jesus. We will stumble if we look away from him to look at ourselves. Thank you. Today is Corporate Communion Sunday, so don't leave. This is a once a month, every first part of the month, we serve communion to all of us as a whole. We ask that you would hold on to the elements until we can all do this together. And I want to remind you that every other Sunday, we have communion available in the back table for you to do as individuals. And so we treasure the privilege of communion every Sunday. So please, please join with us. And while they're serving, I want to read something. I'm going to read out of Hebrews. And it's 10:8 through 18 that I'll be reading. And he said, first he said, sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings, you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, though they were offered in accordance with the law. Then he said, here I am. I have come to do your will. He set aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices by which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sin, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, this is a covenant I will make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I will place my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds. And he adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. Whatever we've spoken about today, what Jesus did on that cross, there's no way we could ever repay him except to give our hearts to him. And so when we look at, as we were speaking earlier, how our actions can hinder our relationship, we should be thinking, how can we get closer? How can we not? His grace saved us, and he's going to love us through it. The only thing we can do is to love him back. And so today, as we take these elements, I ask that you would, the words, Paul says to do it in remembrance. Remember, he died on that cross because of his love for us. And he took upon himself all the sins that you had. so that we would be sinless in the eyes of God, perfect in the eyes of God. We may look in the mirror and not see that perfect person, but God doesn't see that. So please, take the bread. This is the body of Christ that was broken for you, so that you could be whole. And the cup, symbol of his blood that was shed on that cross for the forgiveness of your sins. Please take the cup. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Sometimes we don't realize the fullness of what you've done for each of us, Lord. May we grow each day, Lord, closer to you. May we reject those things of our physical mind and listen to our spiritual mind. Lord, you are the answer to all our issues, Lord, all our problems, Lord. I bless what you've done this day, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for all those that you've touched hearts, Lord. And Lord, I ask that as not only this day, but all days continue, Lord, that everyone here would see you, Lord, that they would keep their eyes on you, that they would be able to love you with the fullness that they have, Lord. So church, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Thank you. As the worship team plays a song, enjoy his presence and feel free to be dismissed when the Lord dismisses you. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.